Welcome home for those of you who have arrived back home from the feast, and congratulations on making it through the most challenging time of the year for those who have dived back into work and regular routine. I don't know about you, but this week of after returning home from the Feast of Tabernacles can be a very difficult one. We invariably get plunged into routine life once again, and the experience can be painful. A transition from an idyllic experience at the Feast of Tabernacles to the ones where we face difficulties and trials can be very tough. It's amazing how much you realize what problems you left behind when you return, just to wind up having them splash in your face. And that's true even when we know ahead of time that we will face adversity when we get home. We still have to deal with it. Now, this kind of scenario is not unique to us. It's something that many people face. And I want to relay a story to you that describes another example of difficulty. It was the year 1860. And Abraham Lincoln had been elected as the President of the United States. And this country, the United States, was becoming increasingly divided along the divisive issue of slavery at that time. Secession from of the southern states from the Union was a very real threat that was happening in the United States at that time. It was one of the, slavery was a hot button issue on the campaign trail that year. And after Abraham Lincoln was elected on a platform of not allowing slavery to expand, there was a resolution of the southern states to secede before the inauguration. And that is pretty much what happened. This is the job that Abraham Lincoln had won. And before he could even get to work doing anything in leading the country that he was responsible for, it was crumbling apart, quite certainly. There was not much of anything that he could do about it other than to prepare himself for it. To say that Lincoln faced difficulties during this time between his election and the inauguration, and even after he became president, is an understatement. Now, you and I certainly have problems, but they probably, I won't say definitely, but they probably pale in comparison to this. He was responsible for a lot, and he had to figure out what to do about it. Yet, Lincoln managed to see through that dark period in the history of this country. And he did that by adhering to virtue and righteousness. That's what he did. We look at his leadership as being a great model in the history of this country and in the world. And during his presidency, the nation did fall into a civil war that tore the country apart, friendships, and even families apart as well. But the thing that helped him to succeed was that he would not give up on what he knew was right. In a speech that he gave in New York City, that was colloquially described as the Cooper Union Address, this took place even prior to his nomination as a candidate for the presidency. But he elaborates on one of the foundational principles that drives him, or drove him as a person in his leadership. And this is what he said. Let's have faith that right makes right, makes might. And in that faith, let us, to the end, dare to do our duty as we understand it. Close quote. His attitude was one of uncompromising commitment to the duty of righteousness, even in the face of adversity. Even that adversity where his country was coming unglued. He was uncompromising in those principles. Now, if we want to overcome the challenges that we face in our life, the difficulties that we inevitably have to deal with, we need to make sure that we cling to the absolute divine principles that form our foundation. Jesus Christ tells us that we have to build upon the rock if we want to withstand the storms that we will face. That's the only way that we will endure, and that's the point that I'm bringing out in looking at Abraham Lincoln's example. But we have to do more than just endure. That goes beyond the simple establishing a foundation and sticking to it. We have to do more. And in fact, the Christian walk of life is one in which we can find joy in facing the challenges that we face because we know what it will ultimately lead to. We need to remember that our efforts are not in vain. We will abound in life no matter what the difficulties are if we find the courage to live according to the instructions that we have been given in the Bible. So the title of my sermonette today is Abound. I'd like to start with a scripture in Philippians 4, and I'll read verses 10 through 13. Philippians 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to both abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, my message is about abounding. Paul himself talks about abounding here, but the abounding that he references is about physical prosperity. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the focus on how we react to difficult circumstances. Paul talks about experiencing hardship, experiencing poverty, experiencing difficulties. And how does he respond to that? He says that he knows how to react, and that is through looking to the strength of Christ and being content in his strength in Christ, knowing that that will see him through everything. That's how we can abound in the face of adversity. Let's go over to John 15, and I'll read verses 5 through 8. John 15 and verse 5. This is an instruction from Jesus Christ to you and I. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. We have to remember that our strength comes from this source. We are the branches of that vine, and we wither and are burned up if we don't allow ourselves to be rooted to that vine. We have to be able to draw upon that strength of Jesus Christ. And where does that strength come from? What does that strength look like? I guess is the better question. That strength looks like the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Any righteousness that we have comes through Jesus Christ living in us. That's the principle. That's the foundation that we build upon. Everything stems from that. When Jesus Christ says that we can do nothing without him, that's what he's talking about. We need to make sure that whatever we do is built on top of him and his righteousness. That's how we can abound. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. There are a few. I'll read starting in verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, what we are reading here is that we are told to abound in a certain way, and that is the walk of life that we live, and that is through the commandments that we've been given. That's how we are to abound. And that's how we conduct ourselves. Now, when we do that, we have to realize that we are aligning ourselves with God. We are putting his righteousness at the foundation of our actions and what we choose to do. When we are on God's side, he is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? That's the mindset that we need to remind ourselves of every day. This is what we do when we make our life's choices. And we can rejoice in the fact that this will strengthen us and will lead us to being able to overcome any kind of challenges that we have in life. I'd like to go to Philippians 4, and I'll read verses 4 through 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have to remember not only to align ourselves with God, to put his righteousness behind our actions, but to be thankful for all things, to be anxious for nothing, to be putting that into our prayers. We know that God is in our lives. We can't deny that. And when we do, as we read here, the peace of God guards us. That gratitude is something that we can put into practice every day. It's an excellent tool that we can use to help see us through the most difficult of times. When Paul talked about being content, about any kind of circumstances that he was in, this attitude of gratitude is what helps him to make that actually work. I'd like to go to Acts 20 and read verses 22 through 24. And we can see Paul in action here. Acts 20 and verse 22. And make sure I'm getting it right. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And this example, Paul and his attitude show that he is absolutely clear in his understanding that he is walking into a firestorm. He's admitting to himself that he's going to be facing calamity, but he wasn't worried about it at all. And why wasn't he worried? He abounds with joy, in fact, because he is simply able to align himself with God, put the strength of Jesus Christ behind his efforts. He is anxious to do this because he has the opportunity to serve God and to share the gospel with those who want to hear it. Just as Paul embarked on this journey, knowing that it would be difficult, here we are embarking on our own journey. If we want to be successful and abound in our life's work, it begins with the right conviction. It is conducted with integrity, and it is conducted with gratitude. When we are able to do this, we will find ourselves guarded by the peace of God in our heart, and we will be able to abound with joy.